we have people here that make a difference. Turn with me to Romans 16. It is not the last sermon. I've got one more sermon in Romans to go through. But we're awful close. And on first glance, it's a list of names. Now, we did this a couple of weeks ago, I think, but went through a list of names, and it made for a little different kind of sermon. And by all means, this is going to be a different kind of sermon. I want it to be more of a encouragement to each of us in this building today, and maybe to those outside this building. Romans chapter 16, it's going to be just piecemeal here, but we're going to the first part of Romans 16:21. Timothy, my fellow worker. This was Paul's associate. It was his right-hand man, his fellow worker. There's a great deal of information on Timothy in the New Testament. There are two letters, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, found in the New Testament. They were written to Timothy by Paul himself. And I don't know about y'all, but it's two of my favorite books of all time, especially 2 Timothy. A fantastic book. And at the time, the reason why it was so special to me, at the time when I first started studying and reading 2 Timothy, I too was I know it's hard to believe, but I was a young minister. Actually, it was before I even went into the ministry. It spoke to me because Timothy was young and Paul was the elder, and he was instructing and helping him, the young minister, with advice and help. His name, Timothy, means one who honors God. Both his mother and his grandmother were faithful believers who reared Timothy in the scriptures. They taught him. And apparently when Timothy was born, his mother had dedicated him to the Lord after the pattern of the Old Testament believers. She gave him a name, and she knew perfectly well what that name meant and what it meant for that child. Her hope and prayer was that Christ would take her child and to use him to bring honor to God's name. You know, just talking about the responsibilities earlier, about the responsibilities of a parent. And I can tell you, you can give them all kinds of things, and you can shower them with gifts, and you could make their life so easy. But there's something about saying, God, I want to raise my kids to love you. I will tell you this, that means bringing them to church, and that means having a life that's not different than the one that you proclaim to have. Sometimes your home life might be a little different than the life that you have at church. Kids see that. They see the hypocrisy. We should constantly be praying for Christ to use our kids to bring honor to God's name. And that doesn't stop when they're just little either. Timothy is also Paul's fellow worker. You see, here you had the older Paul and the younger minister Timothy, who was probably, well, as you're young, you're enthused and you think everything's going to be perfect, and it doesn't turn out to be that way. There's hardships along the way. Sometimes a younger preacher or minister will be intimidated by the older pastor, because they're not as good. They're not as refined and not as polished. But we see here Paul treating Timothy on an equal basis. Paul sees Timothy's call and ministry as being important as his own. This says some significant things about both Paul and Timothy. They had the same thoughts, imaginations, concepts, ideas, purposes, plans, concerns. They were consumed. He was consumed, Timothy was, with the same things Paul was. They were of the same mind about a lot of things. And Timothy was faithful in ministering right along with other ministers of the gospel, doing exactly what God had called him to do. He's faithful in doing that. Note that he was second to Paul. And there's always a pecking order. And you always got to recognize when there's a group of preachers around, there is a pecking order. And that's fine. There's always an assistant, because there always needs to be one who's head. Sometimes you might think, well, they're just all in competition with each other, and that's just simply not true. But he was Paul's assistant. He helped Paul in his ministry. This didn't bother Timothy, for Timothy knew something. It was God, not man, who had called him to be second and serve as his assistant. And therefore, he was faithful, always serving his Lord and helping the chief minister. Timothy's ministry was not inferior to Paul's. I think that's what Paul's trying to tell us. My fellow worker, my companion. I told you this would be a little different message. When I started going to CABI, Central Arkansas Bible Baptist Institute, where I'm currently teaching, but it was about 8-9 years ago that I started going. I'd spent almost 10-15 years not having the companionship, basically, of other preachers. I had 1 week a year that I'd be able to hang out and with other fellow pastors, and that was at church camp. But for the most part, I didn't have that. And in your head, you think, you see somebody who's pastoring this larger church or someone who's been in the ministry for so long, and you begin to say, oh my goodness, they're just so smart and they're so holy. Well, I got to hang around some of my fellow elder pastors there at the seminary. Many of them taught me, and many of them are now my good friends. And the thing about it was they treated me just like someone else, just anybody else, their family, really. And I was able to understand that there are some really strange preachers out there, because they're just people. Some of them actually get on my nerves. Yeah, they're a little strange. And of course, I am sure that I get on somebody else's nerve, because I don't think so, but some people might think I'm a little strange. But the point of it is this. The point of it is that it helped me a bunch, because I needed to realize that we're human beings first. That God created us all in the same image. And you say, well, where are you getting to this? What I'm getting at is that I am beginning to see the big picture. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm getting a little older. Now, I thank you, Lola. I appreciate that so much. I know you're lying, but that's a thought. I'm getting a little older. I've been preaching this pulpit for 21 and a half years. I think that's right. Yeah. 21 and a half years. Can you believe that? And it's sometimes you kind of get in the lull. It's always the next Sunday and the next Sunday, and you realize there will be a day that I will not preach from this pulpit. There will be a day where I won't preach anywhere. Someone else will fill this pulpit, whether I'm alive or dead, who knows, but somebody else will fill this pulpit, and they will be younger than me. Even if they're old, they'll still be younger than me. And this has been going on for a very long period of time. There has to be young men able to step forward to fill pulpits. And it would not be in my best interest or the gospel's best interest if we don't teach and train young men to fill these pulpits. It's hard enough today with all the influences of the world to get men to sacrifice their lives for Christ. I had the honor this past year to sit down and teach four boys. I call them boys, they're young men. Greek. They didn't want to be there. I knew that. They'd already went through the first year and they were like, I don't know. And I had a choice. I could either be the slave driver driving it in, or I could just be me and encourage them as well as teaching them Greek. I invested some time not only in the Greek but in their lives. And it wasn't because I necessarily liked them. I did. But it's because I understood they were the future of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite teachers of all time, and yes, he's probably my favorite over Robbie. Robbie's not really. But Carl Horn just passed away. That man spent his entire senior life doing nothing but encouraging young preachers. And I felt that compared to him, I was a young preacher, but he really wasn't that much older than me. But he just recently passed, and it was amazing the people, especially the kids, over and over would say, he made a difference in my life. Look, I've had preachers who made differences in my life when I was a young man. And you probably have had some too. And when you can make that kind of a difference in a person's life, it's amazing. With brokenness aside, I hung out there for about 7 or 8 years until I found out I probably wasn't needed as much. But I would pop in and out. And do you realize that they would look at me, and I take it as a badge of honor. They'd come out and they'd say, you don't look like a preacher. Good. They knew I was. But what they had an image. And because of what a preacher would, you know, supposed to act like, you know, be the robot. But because I made friends with them and I cared about them, I believe I made a little difference in their lives. And I know that Terry did. Yeah, I don't know how many people we've had come through that ministry, but he, let me tell you something, he made a difference in their lives. So when he writes Timothy, my fellow worker, there's a lot there, especially when you know the history of Timothy and who he is and what he is to Paul. You know, I don't always agree with all my preacher brethren, say the least. Some of them look at me, you really? Yeah. But, and we do have our disagreements. And there are preachers from other faiths that we're definitely going to have different disagreements with. But if you have a man who loves the Lord and wants to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, then guess what? I'm on his side. I'm on his side. He can be my associate. He can be my fellow helper. Because it's people like that who truly love and care about whether a person is lost or not. You know, they make a difference in someone's life. In verse 21 and 22, we'll finish up verse 21. And Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, are greeting you all. I, Tertius, am greeting you all, the one who did the letter, who did write the letter, in the Lord. We had talked about the associates, the ones in the ministry, but really, the ones who make churches successful are the helpers. You see, these people here, Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, they were serving the Lord with Paul. Any person serving Paul had to be bound, had bound to be committed to Christ and be fully committed, as if any one man, Paul was, commitment was astronomical. So if you're going to follow Paul, you're going to be committed too. Without question, these three men had given all they had and all they were to the Lord. They were bound to be gripped with the needs of the masses, suffering under the weight of starvation, disease, poverty, sin, and death, and with the urgent need to get the gospel of salvation to them. The very fact that they were serving Paul tells us that this was the heartbeat of their lives. If you served with Paul, you had no choice but to be committed and to care. Guys, caring, helping. We have people in this church today that care a lot about this church, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some in different ways than others. You can't even, over the years I look back and I can't even begin to express to you the gratitude that I have for the people who care. Okay? That have done the work. That have sacrificed their time and efforts to do the physical work of the church. And I'll tell you, let's go ahead and talk about it now. The church is painted. And Dan wimped out on us yesterday. Trust me. He was here, but he had a little accident. Not a little one. Pretty big one, in fact. And he shouldn't even been up here at all. But he was. But he didn't climb any ladders, Lisa, so we're good. And he's in good shape right now, because if he'd climbed a ladder, he'd have had other bruises on him probably. But, and so we started the day off at a deficit there with not having Dan there. But all of a sudden I had some men and a ladies show up. And we got this building painted, at least most all of it painted once, and we still got some second coats to do. But I can't express to you guys just how much I appreciate y'all. I really do. The help that you give and the willingness to come, it's not insignificant. You say, well, souls are going to be not going to be saved. It's just a building. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. There are two types of churches. There's probably more than that, but the churches whose pastor sits in his office and does nothing all day except study the Word. I envy those people, those pastors. And then there are churches that allow their pastors to do all the work around the place. And then there are some in between, obviously. I've done a lot. When I see something that needs to be done, I do it. But I may tell you, when I ask for help, you're there. And I appreciate that help. You're helpers. These folks here were helpers more on the spiritual side of things. They were concerned about lost souls. They were concerned about the teaching of God's Word. They were concerned. And for a church our size, and I have to remind myself this every once in a while, but for a church our size, we've got some great teachers. We've got some great musicians. We've got some people here that love to study God's Word. We've got some people here that encourage me in ways that you can't even imagine. I thank y'all for that. You're the helpers. This is the kind of help that Paul was talking about, these three folks. And so, thank y'all. God knows who you are. And you know what? You encourage me, and sometimes I don't even realize who it was that encouraged me. Sometimes it's just your smiling faces out there that laughs at my stupid jokes. I said, they must love me to put up with that. And then there's Tertius. This believer was a humble helper. I want you to understand something. Paul did not physically write the book of Romans. You realize that? He didn't physically write it. He helped Paul in a humble but significant way. Apparently he wasn't a preacher, but he served as the personal secretary to Paul, writing this letter to the Romans for Paul. The need for dedicated people who are gifted to handle details is desperately needed in the service of Christ. Very little, if anything, can be done effectively without what may be called the service ministries. You're writing out the minutes. You're collecting the money and counting the money. You're making deposits. You're, you're taking care of the little things. You're cleaning the floors, vacuuming the floors. You're taking care of the little things that are around. They're service details. I would say that what we did yesterday was a big service detail. You know, it's probably a service to the community that we finished painting. But it's the little things. And all this guy was doing was reciting what Paul was writing. Or was saying. He was writing down what Paul was saying. Why would he mention him? Well, he didn't. He mentioned himself. You think about it. And he says, in the middle of all this ending, he says, oh, and I, Tertius, I'm greeting you all, the one who, and in parentheses, the one who did write the letter in the Lord. Then he goes back to Paul, what Paul was saying. May God stir and arouse men and women to give their lives as Tertius did, to reach out in the service ministries of the Lord. There's not anything too small for you to work. Well, I can't give a lesson. I can't sing and I can't teach. I can't. What can you do? What is it that you can do? It's a great ministry. It's whatever aspect you can help. It's just really as important if you're uplifting those ministers. Now, I will tell you that if you have someone that comes to you and want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have to send them to me, well, I'm going to be talking to you too so I can help you lead somebody to the Lord, okay? You can do that. Each and every one of us are able to help in that way, as lead somebody. Can you invite somebody to church? Can you muster the courage to say, why don't you come to church with us? You have to watch out for that preacher, but you know, other than that, not too bad. You'll hear about Jesus. You'll hear about God. Do you know how important that is? Tertius, he personally knew the Lord and was bold in proclaiming his testimony. He gave a testimony here. He says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you or welcome you, greet you in the Lord. He takes it upon himself. Now, Paul doesn't give the greeting, but he takes it upon himself to send his own greeting. He's a fellow believer with the Roman Christians, and he wants to greet them in the name of the Christ, proclaiming his own faith and his own ministry in the Lord. Men of the world would consider him just a secretary. Just a secretary. Not very important. What if he wrote the words down wrong? Would we have a different New Testament if he just changed some words that Paul was speaking? Don't tell me it wasn't important. He was writing words that would be preserved from that time forward as Scripture. But he's not. His faith and ministry are the most important things in the world to him. Therefore, he proclaims that he too is in the Lord, and that he is the secretary who wrote the letter for Paul. So think about the service ministries and how much would never get done without the commitment of God's service, detail servants. In Luke 22:26, he says, "But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and that he that is chief, as he doth serve." That old backwards thing. The thing people you think aren't important are really important. Just doing, and it may be just doing that one thing. But let me tell you, that one thing is important. Joey, Michael, what y'all do back there? You know, I know that when things mess up, you're the focus of attention, and that people are going, "What are they doing back there?" Most times it's not their fault, it's mine. But thank y'all for what y'all do. The more y'all do and the more y'all know, the less I have to worry about on a Sunday morning. Because when we first started doing videos and stuff, guess who did everything? Yeah. And it didn't turn out well. It didn't turn out well at all. So I'm being very thankful for people who are willing to help. And Joey, my goodness, he's here. Anytime that we need him, for every occasion that the computer needs to be done. And I'm thankful for that. But it's important. And the reason why it's important is, have you ever been to a service? I know it's never happened here. But have you ever been to a service where something bad happened and the AVs in the projector couldn't go on, or the sound went bad? You're grinning. Yeah, I know what you're doing. You've been there. I've been. And all of a sudden you have this break and we're going. And I have to leave the stage to go back there to see if I can figure out what's going on. And you got visitors there, and they're going, "Okay, probably not very professional here." No, it's important that we do things right. But the simple thing is that we just do them. Something we must always remember and proclaim. No work, no service for God is small. Many men may rank work and labor, but God does not. He actually does something more. He looks on our hearts. There are so many folks that would love to do stuff for the Lord in the way they used to, but they can't anymore. It's okay. You do what you can. And God's not going to rank you about whether or not, who did the best job at spray painting, Michael. He's not going to do that. Although, I think it's obvious who is. He's not going to determine whether or not you couldn't do paint and get on the ladders like you wanted to do. He's going to rank you what your desire is. I actually accused Dan yesterday to go to these kind of extremes so that he wouldn't have to work. I know better. I was kidding with him. Because I knew he wanted to really, really bad. God ranks and judges only on faithfulness. In verse 23 and 24. Gaius, my host, and all of the church, and of all the church, is greeting you all. Rustus, the treasurer of the city, and Quartus, the brother, are greeting you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Gaius, this believer, was a man of unusual hospitality. And apparently Gaius was a wealthy man who had a large home, large enough to entertain the whole church. And remember, they didn't have buildings. They invite people in their house. Apparently he was a wealthy guy and he had a large place, and he had, the whole church could go there and to house God's servants over a long period of time. He was a very generous person, welcoming person. And the point is this: he was faithful in using his money, his wealth, and his estate for the Lord. And Erastus was the city treasurer. you would assume that he had money too. Now I want you to think about it. He was the city treasurer in Rome. No. That's not true. I'm trying to remember what city was what Paul written this from. It was a large city that he wrote this from. And it was a heathen city. And you could actually say he was a politician. So you have a large wealthy guy who was inviting people to meet in his home. And then you had the city treasurer that's mentioned. And then you have a last guy here, Quartus. We know nothing about him. He was just an everyday, ordinary Joe. We don't know anything about him. But Paul mentioned him. I will tell you this. It takes everyone in a church doing a part to make a church successful. And I'm not talking about on man's standards for successful, but to be able to operate and do a church. I will tell you that I look forward to the day when I don't have to be involved in any music, except every once in a while when somebody, when I feel like I need to. But we'll have plenty of specials. We'll have plenty of things. I look forward to the day when I don't have to put together all of the stuff. There's a lot of pastors who never put together their own bulletin. They got secretaries and stuff to do that. I look forward to that day. It may never happen, but that's all right. I continue to do it. There are things that can be done in a church. And I don't care, and this is not just about me, but this is about every pastor. The more you take off the pastor, this is not in my notes, and so I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. The more stuff you take off the pastor, the better you're going to have a pastor in the pulpit ministering to you. Now, that's just a fact. And it took me 22 and a half years to say that. That's just the fact. The biblical role of a pastor is study and ministry. Now, mowing grass is not, it's not even implied. Painting church buildings is not implied. I enjoy doing that. So don't get me wrong. I'm not unhappy about anything. Trust me. But the less you have your pastor do, the more somebody else can take over, the better you're going to have a pastor in the pulpit and a better pastor you're going to have to minister to you. The more that you are involved, the more difference that you're going to make. Think about that. I know each of you have your own lives and you've got your own problems, your own issues you're dealing with. I understand that. And I understand that money can be tight. I understand that that our time is even tighter. Yeah, I get it. But it's called sacrifice. Now, the guy, Gaius, he had this large house and he used what God had blessed him with. Erastus was a city treasurer, and so I imagine that he was able to help finance the church. I don't know if there's a lot of sacrifice there or not on their part, but I can tell you this. It doesn't matter how much money you give or how much time you offer to the church. It's whether or not you sacrifice something in order for that to happen. If you've just been sitting around all week and say, I guess I'll go up to church and do this. Or maybe in your busy schedule, you can say, yes, I'm going to take time to take care of this and do that. God's going to bless that. God's going to bless that. And the more you're involved, the more difference you'll make. Some of you, probably for the things you've done, you've probably not seen any souls saved. At least you can't tell it because And I have to remind myself about this too. I've preached to a lot of folks. And honestly, very few during church services have come down the aisle to be saved. And sometimes there'll be a person who'll come to my office and want to know how to be saved. But the majority of the time it's been at church camp and later on. And at church camp, if they don't make a decision right then, I don't know that kid from Adam and what's, you know, how it's influenced them. I will know one day. And you say, well, what about me? I've never even witnessed to somebody. Yeah, you have. You just don't know it. Those little things that you've done, those little works that you've helped to pastor out with, the things that you've done with other people, showing them, just inviting them to church. But your life has been a witness. The things that you do have led, I fully believe this, led to someone somewhere coming to know Jesus Christ. Because we know that His work is not in vain. It may be later on in life before we realize what you do, what you've done. Reminds me of the song, Thank You, Aaron. You know, we both sang it many times before. But we won't know exactly the lives that we've changed until we get to heaven. And we start hearing the thank yous. If it wasn't for this, I would have never known Jesus. And all the honor and glory seems to go to pastors. But in fact, that's just really not the case. It's all the people who support the pastor. All the people whose lives that you come in contact with because you've taken the Word of God to heart, that make a difference. Two words, you know. I'm going to get to this last verse 24 now. We can close this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Your Bibles have that in there. My translation does not. It's a textual thing. I use a different text than the King James Version uses. That doesn't change what it says, does it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And he says amen. This is the second time he said amen in this letter at the very end. It's like he writes it, I'm through. No, I need to add something. All right? He's going to do it again here next week. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What is grace? Unmerited favor. In other words, you're getting something that you don't deserve. I know that I get things I don't deserve. I get the opportunity to stand before you every Sunday to be able to preach God's Word, and it is a wonderful opportunity to do that. I don't deserve it. Some people don't feel like they don't deserve to even show up at church because of their lives. And I certainly didn't deserve the everlasting gift. And I'm going to be bold. You didn't deserve it either. The gift of everlasting life that God promises. So when we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, it is a common ending or saying goodbye phrase. But it's more than that. I want God to bless y'all. You see, this has not ever been about me getting up and tooting my own horn or wanting people to like me. It's never been about that. My goal when I was teaching those four boys was one thing. Teaching them how to translate Greek. And to wish their ministries well. Because they're going to have some ministries. And to help them in that ministry. My only really thing about being here with you preaching, because you know, honestly, I didn't feel like getting out of bed for some reason this morning. I was a little bit sore. I know I'm griping about, you know, I know how sore you are. But I was tired. And I guess, no. I need to preach today. And I preach, I minister here hoping that you will receive some graces from our Lord Jesus Christ, and that those mercies and grace will be with y'all. I want to teach you the good and how great God is. I want to teach you that no matter how bad you mess up in life, God's grace covers it. I want to teach you that God will take brokenness and put it aside and make you beautiful. It takes all of us, guys. It takes all of us to do the work of the Lord. And I, for one, want to thank you for the years that you have provided God's service to this neighborhood. We have a lot more work to do. And it's going to take all of us. And it may be little stuff. And in some cases it may be just prayer. But my goodness, we all should be praying for our ministries and our services and for our lost. And those who need to come back to Jesus. This morning, I know this hasn't been a typical message, and I've kind of rambled on a little bit more personal than I usually do. But I just wanted to get across to you that these aren't just names. These are real people to Paul, people who had helped him. And I want to say, and he wanted to recognize them, and I wanted to recognize you today for your service to the Lord and service to my ministry. But most of all, I can't do this without saying this. I want you to experience His grace. I want you to understand how gracious He is. And I want to be with you all your days. Now, if you're here today and you've never experienced Jesus Christ living and dwelling in your heart, you've never accepted His gift of everlasting salvation, I'd be remiss to bring that up. And to ask you to come to Him today. Become one who will make a difference. Become a person who will make a difference in the lives of others. And the only way that can really happen is if you come to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, is the Lord talking to your heart right now? I don't know what He's talking about. The message doesn't seem to lend itself to conviction, but actually I think it might. The question we all have to ask ourselves, are we doing enough? Are we doing what we can? Am I making any sacrifices in my